Normally, we have a third service, and so I'm rushing, sometimes hurrying, but being that there is no third service today, I'm going to take as long as I want. Won't be that long. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word, how your word is speaks to us in different ways. And sometimes is helpful and useful, and we pray that it would bless us and fill us. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's scripture from Joel has two main themes. It's such a short book of the Bible. There's just three chapters, but in it there are two main themes: judgment and blessing. It's like the universal conditions of life that has two dimensions or dualities, like dark and light, or hot and cold, or good and evil. But the book of Joel talks about the opposites of judgment and blessings. Now, on the judgment side of things, there's calamity, there's catastrophe, there's that which is debilitating and devastating. It's a time when we go through those moments of feeling destitute or desolate and are heading towards destruction and death. But on the other side, there are those healing and life-giving words of God where there is promise of restoration and renewal and reward. There is promise of new life and hope and a bright future. That's the blessing side. Now, these two themes coexist with each other, but the dominant and the succeeding and prevailing theme is that of blessing. God is primarily a God of grace and mercy and blessing. And so over the next 3 weeks, our stewardship campaign will focus on the emerging blessings of our church and our lives. Because when we think about stewardship, it's easy for us to think about our expenses or our deficits or our shortfalls or how we don't have enough money. But we are to be looking at a theology of abundance, a theology of blessing. And we beat back, we fight back the temptation to be ruled by fear or scarcity. And so as our mission statement reads, we are a diverse and caring community, sharing the promise of life with Christ, passing the faith to the next generation. On each of those phrases over the next three Sundays, we're going to talk about the blessings of them. So today we're talking about the blessing of being diverse and caring. How are we blessed in our diversity? How is God blessing us, and what does that mean for our future? The book of Joel gives us a solid foundation and understanding of blessing and diversity. But first, we have to look at how did the people get there? How did they arrive at this idea of diversity and blessing? If you read the beginning of the book, you will find in this chapter that the locusts invaded. And the locust ate everything in sight. The grain and the grape and the figs and the olives, but not just the fruit and the grain, but the leaves and the bark off the tree. When this happened, the entire food chain was disrupted and interrupted. Because there's no fruit or grain, the cattle have no feed. And because the cattle start to die, people's supply of food is diminished. Any food that's left is severely rationed, or the food that is valued is suddenly the prices start to skyrocket. Even the temple is affected because they rely on animal sacrifices. And they rely on the grain offerings and the first fruits. Furthermore, it's not just 1 year, but it's several years. Because as the locusts move over the land and eat everything, they drop their eggs. And then throughout the year, these eggs hatch and the larvae grow and they become full-blown. And the locusts eat everything up again that following year. They go through this period of scarcity. It's worse than anything that we can ever imagine. I mean, the worst thing that we imagine is maybe 9/11. We can relate to those times when we feel like, well, our businesses were affected, lives were lost, homes were foreclosed, or loans went belly up. Must have felt like the worst thing that ever happened. But we can't relate to the locusts just eating everything. We can't relate to their experience, but they must have felt like they were living in judgment, that suddenly God came down and judged them. What is the worst thing that we can think of that happened in our own personal life, to our own family? It may not be the worst thing, but we must have felt like judgment had fallen on us. There's a sense that the sky was falling, or that the world was ending, or that we couldn't see the light at the end, as if we're thinking it's over. Judgment, despair. We've had glimpses and slices of feeling so desperate, of living under judgment and living with scarcity. God calls us to attention when we hear about these disasters like tornadoes or tsunamis or hurricanes or earthquakes and the great loss of jobs. Or if our investments all of a sudden lose their value and start going down the drain, we feel like we're in the fire of judgment. But just when everything is bleak and weak and hopeless, God mysteriously and miraculously and mercifully pulls us out of it, lifts us out of despair, and God sends relief, and God somehow restores confidence and gives assurance and reassurance. Verse 23 says, O children of Zion, be glad, rejoice in the Lord, for God has given the early rain for your vindication. God has poured down abundant rain in the earlier and latter rain as before, and the threshing floors shall be full of grain, and your vats shall overflow with oil and wine. And I will repay you for those years that the locusts ate everything. You shall eat, you shall be satisfied, and you shall not be put to shame. Part of judgment was also shame, because shame in the eyes of the neighboring countries. There is shame of being victimized. There is shame of being vulnerable, and the shame of being pitiful. And it adds further injury to insult. But God promised the people that they will be delivered from the shame. They shall be able to hold their heads up high, and they shall be restored to dignity and opportunity and right standing, and have confidence once again. The clouds that surrounded them in uncertainty shall be lifted up and removed, and there shall be recovery, and God's blessing will unfold and become unfurled. So part of the scripture then that is so expansive, that exceeds and surpasses their imagination, is in verse 28. There's a verse in there that was beyond what they had anticipated or envisioned, and it also applies to us. It says this, "Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and on your sons and daughters they shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And even on the male and female slave, I will pour out my spirit." Now, we know that this chapter and this verse is quoted in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Jesus had resurrected. And if you remember that day of Pentecost, the Spirit came down on this mass of people. And there were people there from Asia and Africa and Rome and parts of the Middle East, and it even includes the Arabs in there. There were poured upon by the Spirit. and the spirit extended outward to include people of different backgrounds and upbringings, the foreigners, the outsiders, the strangers, people all along the social spectrum, throughout the economic divides and the ethnic lines. Everyone had access to God's love and grace and mercy. And the gospel of Jesus became diverse, multi-ethnic, multilingual, multi-social class. And God blessed the entire gathering with the Holy Spirit. In other words, God was saying in those verses, it is a blessing to be diverse. In our mission statement, we say we are diverse and we are caring. We're incorporating that language from Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2. You say, well, how diverse are we? I was doing a study of our membership the other day, and I came up with these numbers that we report to the conference. Our congregation is 54% Asian, 40% Anglo, 1% African American, 1% Hispanic, 3% Pacific Islander, and 1% multiracial. Ethnically, we are diverse, and we can keep on working on strengthening that and opening it for more diversity. How diverse are our programs? How diverse is our music? Chancel Choir, Emma Girls, Children's Choir, Paula Singers, Messenger Band, New Voice, Youth. We have three services. That's pretty diverse. How about our outreach? Outreach lunch once a month, recycling once a month, quilts of many colors, vacation Bible school. How about our recovery groups? We have Al-Anon Espanol, Codependence Anonymous, Al-Anon Alateen, Naranon every week. By being diverse, we can expand our ability to be in relationship. Our diversity enlarges our ability to good and to do more good, make a difference and impact more lives. Several weeks ago, I attended clergy convocation. I attended a workshop from Eric Law, and he shared this image called the cycle of blessings. In the center, there's the word cycle of blessings. In the outer circle, there are six holy currencies that he called. And let me just go over them with you. You can see them on the color there. The currency of money, which is obvious. The currency of time and place. The currency of leadership. The currency of relationship. The currency of truth. And the currency of wellness. What he means by currency are those ways in which we exchange commodities, or currency like cash. Those are the literal, tangible, touchable things. But then there are other currencies that are intangible. For instance, let me give you an example. When we had the rummage sale, we offered the currency of time and place. We offered the space to invite the community to come in, to interact and to share and to exchange money for a commodity. But we also were able to connect and have relationship and communicate with people from the community who came in from the outside. There's this spontaneous mutual exchange. And it produces goodwill and sharing of the Spirit of God, an exchange of joy and kindness and compassion. That's a currency that's intangible. A second example is the outreach lunch. And here we offer a currency of wellness. We offer nourishment for the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. We offer relationship. We offer prayer. It's a currency that we offer to the community. It's a currency of relationship, because we're also building networks with nurses as they come in. We build relationships with outside volunteers. We build a network with food providers like Torrens Bakery, who comes in, who we get pastries from, and other donors. Those are just two examples of diversity in our currency. Some of the exchanges are concrete and tangible. Others are intangible and relational. And the more we have these activities and events, we are expanding and multiplying the opportunity for blessings. Diversity increases our occasions and opportunity. And so when we have these events, we're not to view them as a burden, not as work, not as a hassle, not as inconvenience, but a blessing. Through the diversity of things that we have here, we show that we are caring. And it is with that understanding in our mission statement that we go into 2014. To be diverse is to care. And that is our way of being. Amen.